Welcome to this sermon podcast from Mayo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Appreciate that. 1 Peter chapter 1, I've entitled this, Everything You Need to Know About Trials. Peter addresses that. He starts off 1 Peter by being encouragement to these saints, but at the same time, he is acknowledging that even we saints go through trials. But when we go through trials, there's always a purpose for them, which makes me think about lost people when they go through trials. What do they think? I mean, I think the best they can come up with is, I'm going through bad luck. There is no significance to it. Think of it. It's hard for us as saved people to think like lost people. But if you're a lost person and you lost your job, your car breaks down, your wife's mad at you, whatever you can. For them, it's just meaninglessness. It has no meaning. It has no significance. You and I are blessed in that we know that when we go through trials, the Lord is up to something. And he's up to something good. We know there's significance to our trials. We know there's purpose to our trials. A lost person, they just get mad. And who are they going to get mad at? They're not mad at God. They don't believe in God. They just believe it's just random chance. It's just bad luck. It's just whatever. So what do? They're going to get drunk. Or they're going to get mad. They're going to get bitter. You and I are so blessed that as Christians, being saved, having the Holy Spirit and God's Word, we know that there is purpose. We know there are reasons. We know the significance of trials in our life. I think our trials are limited. I don't think we experience near the trials and the drama that lost people have as a rule, because they're living reprobate lifestyles. You know, there's consequences to the lifestyles that they live. And hopefully you're living as best you can, with God's help, a holy and righteous lifestyle. So, I mean, you shouldn't get lung cancer. You shouldn't get cirrhosis of the liver. You shouldn't get some communicable, STD or anything like that. But we're not exempt from all trials. We do live in a sin-cursed world. But for us, the good news is there's meaning, there's purpose, and there's significance. And Peter talks about that, and I think gives us, in just a couple verses, two or three verses, he gives us some keen insight that will benefit you and I when those trials do come in our life. But he starts off in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, talking about the blessings of being saved. He says in verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Well, amen and hallelujah to that. "To an inheritance incorruptible." Hallelujah to that. This is all positive. "Undefiled and that fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for you." It's only going to get better. It's going to have a happy ending. Verse number 5. "Who are kept," talking about us, "by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice." But Peter is a fair and balanced preacher, and a preacher that is going to do his job and do it correctly is going to be, if you will, fair and balanced. It's not every Sunday something good is going to happen to you, because sometimes something bad might happen. He acknowledges that. He says, "Though now, for a season, if need be," and all of these words, we're going to look at them. We're going to look at each one of these phrases because they're significant and they'll help you. Because if you're not in a trial, you will be. And I'm going to share with you, we're going to break this down, what he's saying here, it'll help you. And I'm throwing in some wonderful quotes too. I love quotes. I think you know that. They kind of give a little, spice to the soup, and it's all good. But anyway, he says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." You start pulling that apart and thinking about it. He's telling you everything you need to know about trials. And he goes on to say in verse number 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Your lost family, your lost friends, neighbors, co-workers, they go through trials. They're mad, they're angry, or maybe drunk, or confused, or depressed, or whatever it might be. You are so blessed to have the Holy Spirit living in you that when you read these words, you understand the significance of what we're reading here. Peter had written a letter of encouragement to the believers. These are believers scattered about in Turkey who were undergoing at that time great persecution. And he was encouraging them to see the suffering that they were going through within the context of their faith in Christ. His concern, obviously, and certainly implied, was that if they didn't understand what they were going through, a misunderstanding of the trials could result in their discouragement, despair, and maybe even defeat. Maybe they might even abandon their faith. So Peter is explaining to them, here's what's happening to you when you are going through a trial. And these words that he wrote 2,000 years ago are as relevant today as they were the day they were penned. They have been preserved, thankfully, by the Lord for us. So what did the Lord, through Peter, want you and I to know about the trials that either you're going through now or that you may be going through? Let's just break these verses down. It's going to be very simple, and we'll be done in just a second here. Number one, we learn from this that trials come with an expiration date. Whatever trial you're going through, rest assured, as a believer, it has an expiration date. How do you know that? Because of what he said. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now, for a season. For a season. Now, that season may be, talking about whatever trial you're going through, the season of that trial may be brief. It may be long. It could, in some cases, be a lifetime. People with a disease, people with an injury that lasts a lifetime, that could be a trial that lasts a lifetime. But it's going to come to an end because that trial is not going to continue in heaven, is it? So, you know, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, in the grand scheme of things, isn't forever. So understand, whatever trial you're going through, depending on what the Lord intends, it may be for a day. It may be for a few weeks. It may be for a few months. It may be for a few years. But understand, it is for a season. And for every believer in this room, we can say with full confidence, no matter how serious the trial is, there is coming a time when it will end. And you will be good. And it will be fine. It may be when you get to heaven, but hey, so be it. Thank the Lord for that. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, said this: trials are medicines which our gracious and wise physician prescribes because we need them. And he proportions the frequency and weight of them to what the case requires. Sadly, lost people know nothing about that. Can you imagine that? We have that assurance. So number one, trials come with an expiration date. From this same passage, we learn this too. Trials come to meet needs. There's a reason the Lord has allowed it. Because he says in that verse, after he says, though now for a season, he says, if need be. Whatever trial we're going through, the Lord sees he is going to use that trial to meet some need in our life. It may be that we need the trial because we've been bad and maybe he's spanking us. Or it may be that he's just growing us. Or he's going to use the trial that we're going through for us to be an inspiration to someone else. But understand that whatever trial you're facing, it is meeting a need. Let's quote Warren Wiersbe concerning that part of the verse. The phrase, if need be, indicates that there are special times when God knows that we need to go through trials. Sometimes trials discipline us when we've disobeyed God's will. At other times, trials prepare us for spiritual growth or even help to prevent us from sinning. We do not always know the need being met, but we can trust God to know and to do what is best. That can really help you when you're going through a trial. To know that, number one, it has an expiration date. But to understand, number two, that the Lord is allowing it for a reason. So rather than being depressed or discouraged or overly saddened or anything like that, it would be wise to say, okay, Lord, you know, reveal to me. In your timing, of course, but reveal to me what you're trying to do in my life. Then the third thing we learn from this passage, and this is kind of a no-brainer, trials are not easy. I mean, or it wouldn't be a trial. It does present a difficulty. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. The Lord loves us enough to know that sometimes in this old world, we need to face something that's uncomfortable. We need that. We need to face something that is trying us, that is testing us. Well, he talks about it in just a little bit, the refining fire. You know, to get the impurities out of gold, it's got to go through the fire. And so the means that is accomplished in this world is for us to go through difficulties in our life. But there again, we can be rest assured too. He's not going to let us go through anything that we cannot stand. One writer said this, the man who has an easy way through life, how do you argue with this? The man who has an easy way through life will be spiritually weak, flabby, and impoverished. He won't be able to do all that God wants him to do. But the one who has gone through trials and testing successfully will be strong and capable of doing all the will of God. So, trials come with an expiration date. Trials come to meet our needs. Trials are not easy. Number four, there's seven of these, like seven this morning, seven this afternoon. Trials come in many shapes and sizes. Like I said, Peter really tells us all we need to know about trials. Now, of course, the Bible in other places gives insight into trials, but I don't know that there's any more concise insight than what Peter's giving us here. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Temptations there means trials. Manifold means various. Different trials. The Lord knows what is best. He knows what we need. Sometimes it may be a financial trial, an addiction kind of trial, spiritual kind of trial, relational kind of trial with a spouse or with children. It could be anyone, you know, it could be a health trial. They come in various shapes and sizes. A quote that gives us insight into that is, we are always in the forge or on the anvil, but by trials, God, though, is shaping us for higher things. And he knows just what we need. We're all different. We all have different personalities. We're all at various levels of spiritual maturity. And God knows perfectly the trial that Glenn McMorris needs or any other person in this room needs. My trial may not be yours, yours may not be mine, and that's where we just trust the Lord. They can come in various shapes and sizes. Number five, and this is critical, he says in the next verse that the trial of your faith, that gives us keen insight as to what it is ultimately about. Whatever you may be going through right now that is uncomfortable, painful, challenging. Bottom line, according to Peter, it's about your faith. It's a trial of your faith. Charles Spurgeon, if I can quote him, he's a good guy to quote. You may readily judge whether you are a child of God or a hypocrite by seeing in what direction your soul turns in seasons of severe trial. Very insightful, Spurgeon. The hypocrite, the person who said they were a Christian but really aren't, the hypocrite flies to the world and finds a sort of comfort there. But the child of God runs to his Father and expects consolation only from the Lord's hand. So trials, and we all go through them, are a test of our faith. There's nothing more important. And it's not to reveal to God whether our faith is strong or weak. He knows. It's to reveal to you and I whether our faith is strong or weak. I hate to admit it, but I've been through some trials, and it brought to my attention that my faith wasn't nearly as strong as I thought it was, the way I reacted or the way I responded. But I wouldn't have known that had I not gone through that trial. And sometimes I don't like what it reveals when I go through a trial. You know, I'm the preacher. I'm up here preaching the Word of God, and then you get some bad news or scary news or whatever. You know, how do I respond? You know, and sometimes I've been disappointed in myself. But I needed to know that. You need to know that. We don't need to think that we're something when really we're not. Well, how is it tested? Well, there can't be a better test than a trial. Something that perplexes you, something that scares you, something that worries you. That will reveal what is on the inside. That is, you know, and when the trial comes, are you running away from God? Or are you running to God? And that tells you a lot. You know, it's like you've heard the illustration before about, you know, a trial could be like hot water. And we are like a tea bag. And you don't know what's in the tea bag until you put the tea bag in the hot water. And you put the tea bag in the hot water and you just see, you know, everything, you know, the tea emanating from the tea bag. But you don't know what's in the tea bag until you put it in the hot water. And the Lord will put us in hot water to see what comes out. And if what comes out is ugly, then you need to acknowledge that. And you need to acknowledge that maybe you're not as big a Christian Superman or Superwoman as you thought you were. But you'd have never known that, but for a trial. And then, number six, trials again. This is where the emphasis is. Remember, this is what Peter is emphasizing. I'm just emphasizing what he's emphasizing. Trials demonstrate the value of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. What is it that the Lord is getting to when you go through a trial? It might be going out to your car, you're running late, you turn the key, because remember, we've already been told they come in various, you know, manifold temptations. You know, it can be big trials, little trials, everything in between. You know, when you're running late in the morning, you go hop in your car and you're getting ready to take off and you turn and click, click, click. Okay. How we respond even then? You know, usually I'm running late. I hop in the car and I need to be here and I'm running late. You know, I'm usually just praising the Lord. Sharon, now don't be shaking your head so viciously back and forth. But even in little trials like that, doesn't that reveal something? That's not the way we ought to be. That's not the way Christ would respond to those situations. It demonstrates the value of your faith. One of the great men of faith was George Mueller. He was a German that went to England and started these amazing orphanages there and lived by faith to feed all these children. But he said this, to learn strong faith is to endure great trials. I have learned my faith by standing firm amid severe testing. Trials demonstrate the value of your faith. And it demonstrates that faith is valuable. That's what the Lord is getting. He's not trying to see how, he's not giving us a test to see how athletic we are or how smart we are. He's, you know, our intellect, our education, that's not what he's testing in these trials. And think about that. What is he testing? He's testing our faith. And we should realize through this how important our faith is. And you're demonstrating that by being here right now. You didn't go home. You're back. And what are we doing? We're investing in your faith right now. So trials demonstrate the value of your faith. And lastly, number seven, trials enable us then to glorify God. And folks, that's ultimately what our lives is all about. That's the most significant part of your life, is that your life is glorifying God. The most significant part of your life really isn't your standard of living, although we would all wish you a good standard of living, but that's not ultimately what it's about, or how popular we are, or what people think of us. It's ultimately about glorifying God, because in the end, he said that the trial of your faith, that's what he's interested in. Not our intellect, not our health, not how impressive we are, not our personality, but the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trials of our faith, if we handle them right, can bring honor and glory to God. And it can grow us, it can mature us to the point where we better honor and glorify God. And I'm talking about just in our regular, you know, when you get up and go to work tomorrow, you're glorifying God. Go to school. Meet people in the store. Interact with family. I like this quote. Thus we see that suffering serves a very beneficial function in the life of the Christian. It tests our faith and proves it to be genuine. Beyond this, it purifies and strengthens our faith, making it more precious than fine gold. And in the final analysis, our proven faith glorifies God. I think we see that when people go through trials and they don't waver. Sure, they may have tears, they may have questions, they may have concerns, but they haven't abandoned God. And they haven't abandoned their faith. And they haven't abandoned being in Sunday school or in church or Wednesday night. They haven't abandoned their post at church. And they're going through some terrible trials. It may be health. It may be with a spouse. It may be financially. And you look at somebody like that. I mean, I have said that to people in this church. What you are going through and the weight of the world on your shoulders, and how you have handled it by your gracious spirit and by your faithfulness to God's house and his service, that glorifies God. That speaks well of God, because we know of our own human nature. If we really did what we wanted to do, we're either mad, we're bitter, we're discouraged, we're in despair, we're despondent. But when you see somebody with the weight of the world on their shoulders, caring for a spouse, going through tough times, having a child that's wayward, and yet they're in church, they're serving, and they're faithful, and they haven't abandoned ship, you just have to glorify God. That just glorifies the Lord. So everything you want to know about trials, I believe, is contained right there in these simple verses by Peter. We'll end with this quote. In any trial, in any bitter situation, you are not alone. You are not helpless. You are not a victim. You have a tree, a cross, shown to you by the sovereign God of Calvary. Whatever the trial or temptation, it is not more than you can bear. It is bearable. It can be handled. You can know as Joseph knew. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve my people. I love that. Joseph said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. He went through a trial, serious trial. Whatever we're going through, humanly speaking, it might be hard to comprehend. We might struggle with it. But God means it for good. And I think what you have to do is get alone with God sometimes. You're going through something and you're confused and you're scared. You don't really know what the answers are. Yeah, you get people around you that you love and they pray for you and they encourage you. You be in church where, guess what? You just might hear a message like this. But it's ultimately very personal. You get alone with God. Maybe in your easy chair in the morning before the sun comes up. Or in your easy chair in the evening when everybody else has gone to bed and it's just you and God. And you thumbing through the Psalms. Finding peace and finding grace. And understand, whatever the trial is, from God's perspective, really, He's up to something good. And that should be comforting to all of us.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.